Okay, you're listening Across the Border. I'm Nicholas, and we're going to continue here in Mark, the Gospel according to Mark. And chapter 5, Yeshua, Jesus, departs the coast of the Gadarenes, and he passes over again by ship unto the other side. Much people gathered to him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And nigh means near unto the sea. Verse 22 of chapter 5, And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. So this man, even being a ruler of the synagogue, he had heard the fame of the Messiah. There was no trickery here. Nothing being faked. Like I said, this was not a Benny Hinn show on TBN. This was the real deal. Everybody knew. And this man had enough faith that he knew that if he could get Yeshua, the Son of God, to come and touch his daughter would be healed. So here he is at the feet of the Messiah. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, sound familiar? And had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And so she had, she was hemorrhaging and could not control her bleeding for 12 years. There you go. Sounds like some type of deficiency in her diet that her blood can't clot. So when she heard of Jesus, she came and in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, and this is what the woman was thinking, you know, here's the man over here. Here's the guy that's healing everyone. She's thinking, if I just get close enough to touch his garment, I'll be healed. That's what she's thinking. And she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? It was like a funny statement to his disciples, because his disciples said to him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them which wept and wailed greatly. And when he would come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi. And I'm guessing that they're giving us Chaldee origin here. Young girl. And rise. I don't know why they're doing they did that here, but I guess those were his exact words in the Hebrew. It says of Chaldee origin. Well, that would be Babylonian origin, wouldn't it? Not sure. But anyway, that's what they have here. He said, Young girl, rise, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. So give her something to eat, and don't tell anybody. Well, they already laughed him to scorn outside, and they're going to find out in a minute, aren't they? And he went out from thence and came out to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Miriam, the brother of James, and Joses, and Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So here we have the witness. He has these brothers, James, Joses, and of course these are the Latinized Greek versions of the Hebrew names. But that's what they give us. Anytime you see something with a J, that's the Latinized version of the Greek. And we know where that influence came from. And Simon, and are not his sisters here also? So he also has sisters with us. And they were offended at him. Can you imagine that? You know, can you imagine it? First exclaiming the wisdom and the works that he does. But look, we know him. And to be offended because they know him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And you know, that is a very true statement. So all you prophets out there, you know, when your mother's not impressed, and your brethren and your cousins and people have known you all your life are not impressed, you should not be surprised. And I feel this a lot, too. In my own neighborhood and people that know me, I am like nothing to them, you know. So it's not surprising. And where I, in the congregation I'm at, I don't think I'm very highly esteemed for some reason. It's almost amazing to me. But, you know, they've got the word of the Messiah here. A prophet is not without honor. Am I saying that I'm a prophet? You know, some people might suspect that. But, I am a prophet. The word of God says I am. Because it says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. And do I testify of Jesus Christ? Do I testify of Yeshua, the Messiah? Well, by the word of God, that I'm defined as a prophet. So a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could not do there no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching because they knew him. They couldn't accept it from him. And, well, it's just typical. That's the way people are wired, isn't it? And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two. So we got kind of a change of scene here. He calls them to him, and sends them forth by two and two. And he gave them power over unclean spirits. So he's going to send you out. You've seen me do it. You've seen me cast out demons. You've seen me lay hands on the sick, and they're healed. I'm sending you out. You're going to do the same things. So just do what I've done. I've discipled you. I've taught you to do these things. You've seen me do it. I'm giving you the power to do it. You go out two by two. So he had 12, he sent them out two by two. And he gave them power over unclean spirits. Chapter 6, verse 8. And commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money, in their purse. Okay, now this is what he's telling his disciples, 12 disciples, sending them out two by two in Israel. He's not sending them out as missionaries. He's not sending them out to some strange land. He's sending them out as missionaries during Daniel's 70th week, during the last week that was determined for thy people as Israel, as it was told to Daniel by the angel. 70 weeks are determined for thy people Israel. This is the last week. He's sending them out not to strangers, not to the Gentiles. He's sending them out to their own country, to Israel. Okay? He's not sending me out. He's not giving this instruction to me. He's not giving it to you or anyone else. Because I know a lot of people say, take this to heart and go, oh, I got to do this. He said, do this. But no, he didn't say to you, do it. He might say to you to do something like this on an individual basis. But this is not it here. Now, you might put it on your heart upon reading this that he wants you to do this now. But it's not just because it's written here. This is not something that he's telling everyone to do or everyone that's being sent out to witness or as a missionary to do. There may be instances where he sends out people like he did the disciples here, without script, without anything, without protection. And he might be sending you out to be martyred. I don't know. But this is not something that he's sending out here. In context, he's talking to 12 disciples, sending them out two by two, and sending them out in Israel during the 70th week of Daniel, the final week for Israel. This is him using the disciples to confirm the covenant with many for that week. This is it. He's confirming the covenant with many for 1 week. And we haven't reached the middle of the week yet because, well, we'll get there. So he sends them out and he says, into what? He says, but shod with sandals and not put on two coats. So he's just sending them out with what they have. They're not in Israel. And he said to them, in whatsoever place you enter into a house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you when you depart thence, kind of like the Gadarenes, you know, if they went into a place like the Gadarenes where they come out and say, go away, we don't want you here, go away. You know, and this is a clue for us too. We can use this in our ministry today. If people don't want to hear us, if they tell us to go away, we should go away. Don't cast your pearls before swine. You know, if people don't want your literature, if they don't want you in their town ministering, I think we need to, apply this circumspectly here, at least part of this. But he says, whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, he didn't say tell them off or saying you tell them you're going to be damned to hell. He said just shake the dust off your feet. Don't make a big stink about it. Just turn around, walk out. Shake the dust off your feet. That's all the testimony they need. Don't cause a ruckus. Don't make a noise. Just shake the dust off your feet when you're leaving. And he says, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Might take that to heart, Texarkana. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. And King Herod heard of him, for his fame was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. So, of course, if Herod had John the Baptist killed at the behest of his wife or the daughter of his wife because of his stupidity, and unwillingness to repent of his evil. Because yes, if you make an evil promise, you can repent. You don't have to keep the evil promise. But Herod, because of his pride and the evil heart that he had to keep even his evil promise. And so this was tormenting him. And when he heard about Jesus, he thought, oh no, it's John the Baptist come back from the dead. You could imagine how the demons were swimming around in his mind, filling it with all kinds of, all types of fear and terror. You could imagine the terror that this man felt. So King Herod heard of him, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elijah, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. Imagine the torment of this man, the terror that he had to live with. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison. And for Herodias' sake, his brother's Philip's wife, he had married her. For John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." So he convicted him of that sin of breaking God's law. And boy, he didn't want to hear that. How dare you point out my sin to me? Like it isn't a sin until someone points it out, right? Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have him killed, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when the convenient day was come, that Herod, on his birthday, made a supper to his lords, his captains and chiefs of estates of Galilee, the daughter of the said Herodias came and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him. The king said to the damsel, "Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee." Yes, he could have refused, but for his pride. He wanted to, but way too much pride. Shows you how evil the man's heart was. And he swore unto her, "Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee, unto half of my kingdom." And she said, and she went forth and said to her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." Well, that's how it came about. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king, saying, "I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist." And when the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for sake of those who sat with him, you see, he would have been embarrassed if he didn't keep his word. I mean, what would everyone think? And for the sakes of them which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king set an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel. And the damsel gave it to her mother. How gruesome, you know, are these people? How gruesome is this daughter of Herodias? Oh, man, you know, that's how gruesome can people be? Well, as gruesome as they are today to kill their own children before they're born. Yes, as the Roman Empire has not changed very much. It's just broken up into a bunch of little pieces. We have the clay mingled with the iron, all them pieces of iron, but it's still the same thing. And when his disciples heard it, they came and they took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." And that means go out into the wilderness or the country, basically, and rest for a while. And there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. That means they were very busy, that they hardly had time to eat. And they departed to a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departed, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go to the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." And he said to them, "Give ye them to eat." And they say to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennies worth of bread and give it unto them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And they went. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to all to sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the two fishes, he looked up so you could see the Messiah and have them sent down by hundreds and fifties. So they all had to sit in groups of hundreds and fifties and hundreds. And that was a good way to find out how many people were there. And I'm sure he didn't do it because he was the Son of God. He already knew how many people were there. But he did it for the disciples' sake and for those that were there that had eyes to see and ears to hear, that they could see what was going on, that they could see how many people were there. And when he'd taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves, and he gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat, and all were filled. And they took up 12 basketful of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat the loaves were about 5,000 men. So he had them divided up into about, you know, into hundreds and fifties, and they said about 5,000. And straightway he constrained his disciples to go into the ship and to go to the other side. Everybody's eating, everybody's full, everybody's resting. And he says, go into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent the people away. So he's telling his disciples, go get in the ship, go over to Bethsaida, and I'll send the people away. And when even was come, the ship was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. For about the 4th watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. He's walking on the water, you know, just trucking on top of the water, and they're toiling because the wind was contrary to them and, you know, hardly getting anywhere. And he could have just walked on by and walked right over to the other side. That's what I get here. And he would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. They crying out for fear because they see something walking on the water and they suppose that it's a spirit or a demon or a ghost or whatever. And he says to them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. You've been listening to Cross the Border and we've just run out of time. We'll pick up here in Mark chapter 6, about verse 50 next time. As always, in everything you say, in everything you do, bless the holy name of our Heavenly Father and our Creator. Hallelujah.